Welcome to the Nonprofit Storytelling Podcast. Each episode, we bring you storytelling advice, insights from nonprofits, and so much more. I'm your host, Heather Loveridge, and I'm founder of Magnolia Media Group, an agency focused on helping nonprofits tell their story well. Thanks for joining us, and here we go with another great episode. All right, I am sitting here today with Brooke Hoffman, who is our digital media storyteller at Magnolia Media Group. Brooke actually started out with us as an intern during college and then has stayed with us after college and is a vital part of our team. So welcome, Brooke.
Woohoo! Hi.
So tell our listeners just a little bit about you, what you do for us, and why you love storytelling.
Okay. So my title, as she said, is digital media storyteller. So that is a lot of different things. I do a lot of writing for our social media accounts, for blog posts and different things. I work with our, the e-blasts and the newsletters that we do. I work on ads on Google and on Facebook. I do some photography every now and then, a little of everything. I do some stuff with websites too, all over the place, but it's all for the purpose of telling stories, of course. And I think the reason that I enjoy that so much is because I'm kind of wired as an artist at heart, and so it's a different form of art. It's words instead of paint or clay or whatever kind of medium you would use to create something physically. It's words, and it does the same sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, telling a story via words. So I love that. All right, so what are we going to be talking about today that will be of value to our listeners?
So what I wanted to talk about was kind of the human side of the work that we do, because while it is words, it's people behind all of it.
Yes. And what do we always say when it comes to telling stories especially for our nonprofit clients, is why is it so important to tell those stories? Is because it shows...
Well, it shows the impact and the people that are... Well, the people who are being helped and the people who are helping.
Yes. Yeah. Which is so vital. But I love when you came up with this idea, I was like, oh, that's such a good point, because we can forget about that too. And we always want to be cognizant of that and be respectful of people and their stories and never feel like we are putting them on display or, making them feel like they're being exploited. That's the word that I was trying to find.
Right.
So, talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So, I'm thinking just through the different clients that we have, as you said, some of them, they do come from situations that are vulnerable or, things that you don't necessarily share with strangers a lot of the time, deep parts of their story as a person. And so it can be difficult to present that in a way that is dignified for them and that shows honestly where they were and how they were able to receive help from the organization that we're working with. But when you can do that tactfully, it can make a big difference, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tell me about an example of maybe a story that if it wasn't treated the right way, it might lean a little too exploitive. Is that the word I want?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think of our client that they provide shelter and resources for women and their kids who are experiencing homelessness. And a lot of those stories, I think, are some of the most difficult to tell appropriately, because you, of course, want to be respectful of their privacy. I think there was one mom that I saw a couple of times when I went to take photos, and she already had a couple of kids, and I think she was 20 years old, and she gave birth to her third child while she was at the nonprofit that she was staying at. And I just remember thinking, like, wow, this is real, this is raw. And I think I did have a hand in writing her story, and it was just interesting to see her in person and get to interact with her. And she recognized me the second time that I came, so that was kind of cool. I think that's probably the best example I can think of.
Well, and it's putting emotions to what she's gone through and helping other people see that this may be what she's experienced then, But thanks to a nonprofit like this one, this is her story now and mm-hmm. her story for the future. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the key part of humanizing, too, is not to leave them where they were,
yes.
but to show people how far they've come and where they're headed.
Yep.
Like, I think there was another one from that same organization that had been incarcerated mm-hmm. at some point. And that was a very raw story, too. And one thing we always ask people is, are you comfortable sharing this?
Right.
We never want to be like, hey, tell us all these details. Mm-hmm. But it's always like, if you're comfortable sharing this, because they know, you know, where this is going to be published and where people are going to see it. And if they're comfortable, then, you know, we are able to tell their story kindly and gently and yeah. with care.
And there are some that are not comfortable sharing all of the details, and that's okay because you can still get a lot of, you can still show a lot of impact even without some of those nitty gritty details. Mm-hmm. But then others are like, yeah, let me tell you everything. And they will just spill. And it's like, oh my goodness, I can't believe that you are trusting me with this. That is such a wonderful responsibility mm-hmm. to be given.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's sometimes when we've done workshops or other things, we'll hear from nonprofits as well. You know, I can't tell these details. So how can I tell this story? But you exactly just said that. There is so much outside of, you know, maybe it's a minor that they're like, I can't share details of what happened to them, but there's always a story to share. Mm-hmm. There's always, and maybe that's just, you know, how safe they felt. Maybe if they're at a shelter and how safe they've been felt since they have been there, or mm-hmm. maybe how, you know, a backpack made a difference in their life. Think mm-hmm. about another client we have.
Yeah. Things that seem small. That also makes me think of one of our other clients that provides home repairs to people, and how that's also there. It's for people who are low income, and a lot of times the situations that have led them to the point where they are in their life now, it's the same kind of thing where you don't necessarily want to get into all of that mm-hmm. as that person, but you can tell, you know, how you were helped, and mm-hmm. that's really the, I guess that's the part that matters most.
Yeah. Yep. I totally agree with that. And you've got some other examples too of just various things, how people have come back to you and said thank you, like yeah. I really liked how you told my story, so share a couple yeah. of those.
Well, one of them who was helped by the home repair organization that we work with, he had been featured, and he actually was talking while I was speaking with him about his story. He was telling me how some of the other stories that we've done that he had followed on their social media and on their blog. And he said that those stories had just really carried him through. And those are what pushed him to actually reach out and get mm-hmm. help, was because he saw that there was an actual difference being made, and that it wasn't just, you know, a story of one person one time, but like there was consistent mm-hmm. help mm-hmm. from this organization. And so that was kind of a secondhand compliment, I guess, because he didn't know that I had written some of those stories, but it was interesting to hear from his perspective as the person who was being helped, that those do make an impact on people just like him.
Right. Right. You can't underestimate the far-reaching effect a story mm-hmm. can have.
Yeah, that was really, I was really caught off guard by that, but in a really good way. Mm-hmm. There are other people who were volunteers at another of our clients where they were just like, wow, we really love the stories that all of you guys are putting out there. And I mean, they just, they're so welcoming anyway. They're so kind, and they would come up and just give me hugs and stuff when aww. I come to take photos. It's great. It's just really interesting to see the way that the stories that we get the opportunity to tell are actually connecting us to more people, and those mm-hmm. people to mm-hmm. their clients better. It's a circular kind of thing.
And it is.
It's really cool.
I love the word that you use, connecting, because yeah. that's really what it is. It's connecting the reader who maybe they're a donor, and they're like, and they can see the difference that's being made, mm-hmm. and then they want to connect further with that nonprofit, or it's mm-hmm. the volunteers. Because sometimes being a volunteer can be a thankless job, but when they have stories that they can read and see the difference being made, then their effort at simply, you know, packing a bag full of toiletries really mm-hmm. does make a difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and I love what you said too, is people out there, you know, air quotes, in the world, they really do just want to help.
Yeah.
we tend to hear a lot of negativity, but there is so much good being done and so many people who really, truly want to make a difference.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think of myself as a, kind of an optimist, sometimes a realist, kind of a battle in my brain constantly, but it is good to firsthand get to talk to people either on the phone or in person to get these stories and see that there is actual change and there is actual very real good, and it's right here all around us. And it's easy to focus on the negativity, but that's a choice. You can choose to look at the good if you want to.
Yeah. And telling those stories helps get that out there.
Yeah.
So what are some tips for our listeners out there, nonprofits or otherwise, when it comes to storytelling and remembering the human side and just honoring somebody's story? What would what would you share with them?
I think maybe this is obvious to everyone but me, but something that I think I struggled with when I first started telling stories, specifically talking to people to get their stories, was I felt very, very awkward asking them some of the, even just some of the basic questions, nothing, you know, super like hard hitting or deep. But I think just remembering that they're people, it's okay to just talk to them like they're a friend, you know, you don't have to be overly familiar, but you can be friendly and kind and they'll realize that you're a person too. And, you know, you're just having a conversation. But if you can show that you truly care about them and care that you know that they were in a bad spot or whatever, you know, whatever their situation was, and that now you're truly happy that things have improved for them, you know, just you being a human being and them being a human being and interacting in a way that's real is really big. And I think you can kind of, you can tell when people are being legitimate in that way. And so it's important that you do that on your end too.
Yes.
I think. And also when you're talking to people, I think another thing is don't be afraid to go off of maybe what you expect. Like if you have, you know, some idea of the story that you're looking for, be okay with it kind of, I don't know, evolving into something different, because you never know what kind of details
that's
may be
a great
there.
Point.
And you just, you would have brushed right past them. It's, I don't know, I feel like we've gotten some really good stories that way, where it's like you just ask one little question you didn't expect to ask, and then it's like this whole other thing.
Yes.
It's really cool.
Yes. Which is always my, I go back and forth, because we can email people questions and they can answer them via email, which is typically quick and easy, but you miss the opportunity to ask those questions or to get that further story.
Yeah.
Because I have the same thing throughout all my years of interviewing people. I would be so amazed, you know, I would have my list of questions and I asked them something else and they would tell me this whole amazing story that it's like, I had no idea you did that. Yeah. I had no idea that, you know, you wrote a book on such and such and it got published and all these, you know, really cool things happened. So, never be afraid to go off the beaten path. I'm talking to people. And you have a couple of other tips that I really love as well. So what are those?
I think as you're talking to people, maybe not even like you're looking for a story, like you're calling someone for an interview, but when you're out and just doing things around the nonprofits that you're serving, think of everything through the lens of storytelling. Don't ever brush past something that may be a really cool opportunity. I guess that kind of goes hand in hand with what we just talked about, but
that's a great point though, because that's what I always refer to as a culture of storytelling.
Yes.
Like your whole team needs to be always on the lookout and listening and going, ooh, that sounds like a potential. Let's, you know, either I am going to figure out the rest of it or pass it on to somebody else who can figure out if that's going to make a great story for whatever nonprofit they're working with. And so, So we've talked about just being personable, being trustworthy, being caring, listening to people. That's a real, just giving people a platform to talk. Sometimes you might have to draw them out at first because they may be a little uncomfortable. Or I always tell people the interviews that would make me laugh the most on the inside were the teenage boys, because they don't talk and you get like a one word answer. But sometimes you can draw them out. And then sometimes you have to realize, okay, this, I'm not going to get what I want from my need, what I need from this conversation. So I need to talk to a parent or somebody who works closely with them. So that's an, you know, don't be afraid to think a little bit outside the box of who else do I need to talk to really get, the details I need for this story. Yep, so
that's a good point.
Yes. So the human side, always honor people's stories, make sure they're comfortable sharing them. And help set the stage so they realize I'm not just telling your story for the sake of telling it. There's a much bigger purpose here.
Yeah, it's to help others and, again, to show that there's good because there's plenty of bad being spewed all around us. So if you can be the good in any, I don't know, any step along the way, if you're the person telling your story to someone else to then have it shared, that's an important piece of it too. So don't be afraid to be that person.
That's right. You never know who you might resonate with. Somebody you will never meet in a million years, but just like the man who said, I read those other stories and they have encouraged me and prompted me to reach out. You just never know the ripple effect. So, well, Brooke, thanks so much for sharing some of what you've learned over the years of working with us.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to all the other great stories we have to tell for our clients. And yeah, we all enjoy what we do for the impact that it makes. So to all our listeners, thank you for joining us today. We hope you got some good advice on telling stories and maybe thinking about them in a little bit different way than you have before. So again, thanks for listening and until next time. And that's a wrap on this episode of the Nonprofit Storytelling Podcast. For show notes or to learn more about Magnolia Media Group and how we help nonprofits, please visit us at magnoliamedia.group. We'll be back next time with more storytelling insight you can use.